When I was serving as the conference minister in the Northern California Nevada Conference, I had an opportunity to take a screenplay writing class. And there were about a dozen of us, and everybody was really kind of writing a very different screenplay, just all sorts of them. I decided I would write kind of a mystery, suspense, a little scary with a touch of the supernatural kind of story. And so we would bring in our first scenes, and everybody would read them, and they wouldn't know who wrote them, and then they would offer advice and ideas. So my day came, and I had sent out what I wrote, and so they all came in and started sharing what they had to share. And they didn't know it was me, and they didn't know who I was, really, or what I did. But one of the things that kind of shocked me was that they said that the story was maybe too scary, right? Which really kind of shocked me, because some of them were setting out to write scary stories, right? So something in there about it all really scared them. So I have that part in me, I guess. What was interesting about it was that when I wrote it and when I read it, I didn't think it was going to be like that. I thought it would be a little unsettling, but not that scary. It has a lot to do with, I guess, your perspective on the story and how involved you are. These stories today and today's lectionary, I think, fit together remarkably well if we look at them from a certain perspective. One of the terms I learned when I was taking that class was a MacGuffin. And a MacGuffin is an object or a device that's used in a story to set up the plot. So think of the Indiana Jones and the, what was his first one? Now I'm blanking. Thank you very much. That's the education proving it was worth it. Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Ark served as that kind of MacGuffin to set up the plot and to move the story along. We read this passage in John, and in some ways the MacGuffin is this man. This man who had been lame for 38 years. Think of that. And was now in this place where others gathered. And there was this idea that when the water was stirred in the pool, that if you could get into it, you would be healed. But he told Jesus, every time the water got stirred, he tried to get into it, but no one would help him, and someone would get in there first. And so here you have this man who had been sick for 38 years. Probably all those family members had either died or they had kind of given up on him. And you have the picture of this man among others that were sick that was completely alone. And Jesus picked him. Now, just to make sense of my whole sermon title right away, did you notice how the passage ended? And it was the Sabbath day. That's foreshadowing the next passage, right? Because, you know, they respected the Sabbath day so much that you couldn't do much good on it. That was kind of how it ended up being. But Jesus tells him to get up. You don't have to get into the water. You don't have to be alone anymore. The 38 years ends now. How amazing could that have been? It would have been like a whole new world. It would have been a whole new story for that man. And Jesus prepped the story by asking him, are you ready? Do you want to be healed? Are you ready for a new story? Because sometimes new stories, even if they're the right stories, can be disruptive and can change things. And just because our lives are disrupted doesn't mean the story is not necessarily good. My niece just had a baby, 3 months ago? I can tell you it's totally disrupted her life. And she can't be happier. The other passage that we read is about heaven, that classic idea of heaven or what it will be like to be with God. And I tend to take those as images and as metaphors, but listening to those descriptions, it must be a wonderful place. It must be a wonderful story to be able to be with the divine. And it's set in direct contrast to the story of this man. He was alone. We will never be alone again. He was suffering. There will be no suffering. There was water in a pool for those that could make it. There's a river of life for all that are there. The story of Jesus in this passage of John and this man is a foreshadowing of things to come. And it also is an act of revolution that says the world might not be like this now, but we believe that it should be and that it will be. We're called to participate in that story. You know, we got our names as Christians from people that used to make fun of us. They'd be like, ugh. Look at those little Christs running around. And we embraced it and said, yeah, that's what we do. We run around and we do things that foreshadow what we believe, and they serve as representatives of what we believe the world should be like. And so, when we bring food in for the food pantry, when we plant a flower, when we wake up and get up in the morning, even though it doesn't feel like a good day, when we pet the cat, when we feed the bird, when we recycle our cans, even when we pay our taxes so that others can be cared for, even if they can't do it themselves. These, my friends, are part of the story. These, my friends, are evidence that we believe that someday it will be as Christ set for us. And until that day, we go about as little Christ, doing our little things here and there, smiling at the person in the store, stopping and visiting or giving a call to a friend that we haven't talked to or someone that's been on our mind. These are the many acts of the Christians that show that we will not settle for how the world is. We commit to this revolutionary life that says we want a world that Christ wants. Do you remember that story? You've probably heard it before. There was a great storm. And so a man afterwards went out onto the beach, and he was walking along the beach, and up on the shore had washed all of these starfish from the ocean. Do you remember that story? And as he looked down the beach, he saw a little girl, and he thought she was dancing at first because she was spinning around and jumping. But as he got closer, he saw that actually she wasn't dancing. She was reaching down and picking up a starfish, and then she would twirl around and get her momentum up and hurl it into the ocean. And the man said, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "There's thousands of starfish. That's not going to make a difference." And she bent down and spun in her little dance and hurled the starfish into the ocean and said, "It makes a difference for that one." It makes a difference. All of the ways that we can show that we believe in a world that Christ said we should have, we should set out to find those little ways, cast our starfish, and make a difference.